The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisperer in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the player cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This time around, we are taking a look at the neutral cards. This is part one of a two-part series. Part two, we'll take a look at the upgrades. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with our reviews of the player cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. We're going to take a look at the neutral cards in the box. This will be a two-part video. The first part's going to take a look at the level zero cards. The second part will take a look at the five upgrades in the box. We're going to start things off with Knife. One cost asset with a combat skill icon, item, weapon, and melee trait. As an action you may fight, you get plus one combat for this attack. And as an action you may discard Knife, fight, you get plus two combat for this attack. This attack deals plus one damage, and Knife takes up a hand slot. Not sure why they give you 10 copies of Knife in the revised core set. It is good for protecting your more valuable assets from Crypt Chill. It is one of the cheaper ways to do that. And discarding a Knife in order to deal plus two combat and plus one damage is pretty decent in a pinch. But pretty much every other weapon in the game is better than Knife.
Except for Switchblade.
Except for Switchblade level zero, yeah.
True.
I have found some corner case use for Knife outside of the core set with Yorick. Yorick can make pretty good use of this card, but yeah, again, like, you have to be dedicating a build around recurring the Knife to get more use out of it. But honestly, in a pinch, it's not bad. I think what saves this card is the price. It's so cheap. It takes up one hand slot. You can just have it there. It's never going to be bad because you're going to feel fine when it goes away to Crypt Chill, like you were saying, Man from Lang. And this is Wendy's way to kill a swarm of rats.
I feel like Knife is the card you have to put in because you've run out of cards. Mm-hmm. I gotta be honest, I think the first objective when starting off with the core set and building a deck is getting the knife, finding a way to get the knives out of your deck. It does what it does, but it's like you're settling. You're compromising with Knife. And it feels bad to have to compromise.
I definitely don't disagree with you there, but like I said, I think it's just because it only costs one resource that saves it from being relegated to tentacle status.
Yeah, I think there are a ton of cards for evasion that I would play over Knife. Because I think if you're desperate enough to play Knife, you could be looking at evading things.
Yeah, I think specifically, though, with Swarm of Rats, that's like, it's annoying enough to evade because it has Hunter, and 3 evade is just annoying enough where it's like you don't want to commit cards to that skill test, but at the same time, like, you're going to have to pass it. So Knife is just nice because it puts you up to 3. You can just kill it, get rid of it.
Okay, yeah, this is like Agnes or Daisy. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing I don't understand is why the designers felt we needed 10 copies of Knife when there's another card that we will look at in a moment that definitely deserves to have more copies. Certainly, 2 copies per investigator would be fantastic. None of the investigators in the box need 2 copies of Knife, and I think the Knife is sort of the necessary evil when you start off playing the starter decks. It's just like, we needed to fill some slots, and Knife will fill those slots, and it's okay if you need to kill something, but as soon as you have any sort of interest in deck building, the knives immediately get removed from the deck. And barring playing some sort of York build once your card pool expands that recycles Knife with scavenging and York's ability, you're just never going to play it. It's just one of those, you're going to have 10 cards in your box that you're just never going to look at again. And I think that's a little unfortunate. I wish the designers had been had a little bit more foresight. Sure, if Knife was a card that was religiously played beyond the core set or beyond even just the starter decks, sure, put 10 copies in, but it's just not. It's not played. After you play a couple games with your starter decks, take out the knives, put in better cards, and you don't look back. The basic fight action doesn't even reach sort of the minimum bar of doing plus one damage and plus one combat. The discard version is okay, and it can come in handy in Roland if you do get your 45 automatic down and you're worried about Crypt Chill. Okay, I play a knife. I can afford that on turn one. I'm ready to, if I draw a Crypt Chill, fail my skill test, the knife goes and I keep my gun. But
yeah,
it's just such a narrow use of it that I just don't know why they went all in on knives in this box. How would you rate this one?
I think within the core set, it gets an Elder thing from me, and then outside of that, it's an absolute tentacle. But you know, it saves you from Crypt Chill. It's also nice when you have to just deal one damage to something, and you didn't draw a machete for some reason. Yeah, it's fine.
I'd give it a tentacle. Just play your in-class ways of dealing with enemies over, and play two copies of them over this. I think your first objective in deck building is to get rid of the knives and play cards that do better things. You know, play Baseball Bat, play Mind Over Matter, play Derringer. You know, just don't play Knife.
Or even play some of the neutral skills that we're going to take a look at in a second. Exactly. You know,
yeah.
Overpower.
Play Overpower.
Gives you two combat skill icons and will draw, and it will even replace itself, which is fine. Yeah, I think I've got to give this one an auto fail. As much as I, you know, maybe an Elder thing in the revised core, but even then, I haven't played with Knife in a very long time. I think the last time I played with Knife was if you go over to Arkham DB and build a deck, you have the option of building a Chaos deck, which is basically just Arkham DB throws a deck together for you with a bunch of random cards, and usually you end up with at least one Knife in the deck, and that's really the only reason that I played it. So yeah, this one unfortunately just is not doesn't do enough. You can't say the same about our next card. That is Flashlight, 2-cost asset with an intellect skill icon, item and tool trait, uses 3 supplies. Spend 1 supply, investigate your location, gets -2 shroud for this investigation, and it takes up a hand slot. This is an auto include for many investigators at the start of campaigns until they get better tools to investigate. Reducing the shroud value of a location is often better than boosting your own skill value, simply because if you can reduce the shroud value to 0, barring an auto fail, you're going to succeed on that investigate test.
That's a really important nuance, that reducing shroud down to 0, you know, it's because your modified skill result after drawing a token cannot fall below 0. You can't have -1 or -2 as your skill test result. It bottoms out at 0 unless you auto fail. So the fact that you can pick up clues from shroud 2 locations, unless you draw a tentacle, it's pretty solid. That makes Flashlight pretty solid.
Yeah, or even investigators like Roland and Wendy, who can use it on 3 shroud locations pretty effectively as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Flashlight does a good amount of work for you. And this is also another asset that protects your weapons from Crypt Chill as well, because once you use the charges, it sticks around just to be discarded to a Crypt Chill.
Yeah, and it's not that expensive. So even if you only end up using 1 or 2 charges and you end up having to lose this to Crypt Chill, that's a lot better than losing a full 45 automatic.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that, you know, for a lot of investigators, if you're trying to investigate a location and you sort of want to be 2 up before you pull from the chaos bag, this will often do that at those 3 shroud locations. And so you can often get away with just using a flashlight charge without having to commit other cards and resources to the skill test. And you still have a pretty reasonable chance of passing. Things get a little bit dicier once you get up to 4 and 5, but fortunately those 4 and 5 shroud locations are not as common as the other one. I guess the only bad thing I have to say about this card is that those sometimes those 3 supplies don't go as far as you would like, and there is no way in the core set to add supplies to flashlights. So once you empty it, it basically just sits on the table. And I think, like you mentioned, Matastrophic, during our review of scavenging, unlike some of the other assets in the game that discard themselves once they run out of either charges or secrets or supplies, this one does not discard itself. So once it's empty, it just sits there until a Crypt Chill comes along and you discard it, or you play another asset to, usually another flashlight, to replace it. How would we rate a flashlight?
I think this definitely gets an Elder Sign from me. Like you said, this card is very useful even beyond the scope of the core set. Reducing the shroud down to 0 just means you're able to safely investigate so many locations throughout the course of your campaigns. And, you know, while you will likely upgrade out of this in most investigators, this is going to carry you through early scenarios in a campaign.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I'd give it a +1, actually, because it's a genuinely useful effect, and it provides you cover from Crypt Chill. So I like this card a lot. I don't think it necessarily can... I don't think Daisy necessarily needs it, because she has Magnifying Glass, and her intellect is so high already. But I think it really shines in investigators like Agnes and Wendy, where their hand slots aren't as contested, and they can use this to... pick up clues without having to commit cards. It's really good.
I think I can give this one a +1 as well. It is very, very good at what it does in several of the investigators in the revised core. I think I've used this a lot in Roland decks. Obviously, Agnes and Wendy can get some use out of it. Even Skids can drop one of these down and until he gets lockpicks. Really, this is his only real option to help him investigate outside of perception. So it is one of those cards that usually investigators do receive some better way of gathering clues, whether that's gathering clues without taking skill tests, which is the case for some of the Guardian cards. Or if you're playing Agnes, you get your Rite of Seeking once you gain a few experience points. And you may want to even hang on to the flashlights at that point, because she doesn't really need her hand slots, and Rite of Seeking only has a couple charges, so flashlight still is handy. Skids gets lockpicks, which usually is what you replace your flashlights with, and away you go. That brings us to Emergency Cash, 0-cost event. With the supply trait, gain 3 resources. Not many ways to gain resources in the revised core set.
You know, there really isn't much to say about it. It gets you resources so you can play your other cards. It's a little unfortunate that it doesn't have skill icons, so drawing this later in the game can be a little unfortunate, but for the tempo swing that you get early on in the game, I think that more than makes up for it.
Yeah, the fact that it gives you 3 actions of effort for a single action of playing Emergency Cash is just going to make this card great right there. It really hurts to be, like, say, Roland. You're down at 1 resource. You go to upkeep. You draw you draw 45 automatic, and then, oh, no, I've only got 1 resource. Ugh. Well, Emergency Cash bails you out, because it helps you get back in the game and overcome that resource problem. I play two of this in, like, every deck I can. I got to be honest, at least at 0 XP, until you get other in-class ways to boost your resources. And even then, some of those in-class ways to boost your resources can be situational in some regard. So even then, they don't outclass Emergency Cash, they kind of compete with it.
I think the Mystics in particular get a lot of really wonky ways of generating resources, when honestly you're just better off playing Emergency Cash for the efficiency. There are 2 upgrades for Emergency Cash. The level 2 upgrade is available in the revised core set, and there is a level 3 upgrade, which actually does quite a bit different. It deals with supplies as well is available in the Pallid Mask. I'm a little surprised they didn't include the level 3 one in the revised core rather than the level 2, simply because it is a way to reload Flashlight. But I don't know if I have ever upgraded to other levels of emergency cash. I find that the level 0 version does pretty much everything that I want it to do. And can't argue with 3 resources, especially if you're playing a class that is desperate for them, like Guardian or Mystic. How would you rate this one?
For me, this gets a +1. Like we were saying, you know, you're going to be playing this card until you have other ways to be generating resources or reducing cost of cards. It's definitely serviceable, though.
I actually give it another sign because it's very quintessential. It's a staple. It does what it does very well. And then, yeah, you're going to, you know, as your card pool expands, you're going to find other ways to do it. But Emergency Cast still holds up, I think. Elder Sign.
I'm going to give it an Elder Sign within the context of the revised core. And it probably dips down to a +1 as your card pool expands. I think when I think back onto a lot of the classes, each of them sort of receives other ways of generating resources. So Emergency Cash sometimes gets cut in favor of those. But in the revised core, it's really your... Unless you're playing skids, you don't have
then
that
you're
many.
You're spending 8 XP.
Yeah, you don't have that many options to generate extra resources. That brings us to our first of the neutral skills in the revised core. There are 5 of them. There is Guts, Perception, Overpower, Manual Dexterity, and Unexpected Courage. We're just going to cut to the chase on these. They are all Elder Signs. You will play these extensively in the revised core set and even beyond. If you are looking for cards to add to your deck, you can rarely go wrong by adding some of the neutral skills. The fact that each of them has 2 of the particular icon on them and they replace themselves makes them very good in many of the decks that you will be building. The only reason that you often end up cutting them as your card pool expands is because deck slots become, there's a lot more competition for deck slots. So being able to include 2 copies of Guts and 2 copies of Overpower and 2 copies of Manual Dexterity, you just don't have the deck slots for them. Fortunately, a lot of investigators get, or a lot of classes get skills that sort of double up on those. So you can sort of trim some of the neutral skills in favor of in-class skills that sort of serve double duty if necessary. But we are going to take a brief look at each of the skills. Starting off with Guts, it has 2 willpower skill icons, the innate trait, max 1 committed per skill test, and if you're successful, draw a card. This is Matastrophix, one of his favorites for sure.
Yeah, just about every deck I build, I end up starting off with 2 Guts and 2 Unexpected Courage and 2 Emergency Cash. I got to be honest. It's mainly because willpower, difficulty 3 willpower treacheries are very prevalent all throughout Arkham Horror, the card game. And I feel like you want to have a plan for dealing with willpower 3 treacheries. And Guts is how you do it. It turns roll into a 5 when dealing with Rotting Remains. Skids becomes a 4, which means he has a chance of passing that Frozen in Fear. Puts Wendy up to a 6. He kind of overkills it. Daisy becomes a 5. I think there's an argument for maybe not including it in Agnes. Maybe it gets cut for space in Agnes, but that's because she has so much willpower.
Yeah. But even in Agnes, you can use it proactively when you cast Shriveling or something like that. So even in Daisy.
Yeah. In a lot of Mystics, it's your key to juicing those combat skill tests with Shriveling. If you're fighting a tough enemy, 5 is great, but sometimes you need to get a little more, and that's when you're using Guts. There is a level 2 upgraded, a level 2 upgrade for Guts in the Jacqueline Fine starter deck. If you need even more willpower skill icons, however. As with all of the neutral skills, the upgrades are class specific. So in the case of Guts, it's a level 2 card for Mystics only. So that takes it out for pretty much anybody who isn't a Mystic or an off-class Mystic doesn't have access to that. But Guts is if you're looking for, if you're at cards 28 and 29 and you're looking for cards to add, you certainly can't go wrong by adding a couple copies of Guts. I know it's certainly been saving my butt in some of my recent playthroughs. That brings us to perception, basically same as Guts, except with two perception, with two intellect skill icons. This is the one that I usually reach for playing in solo, between this and Flashlight and Unexpected Courage and some of the other, whatever other tools my class happens to have in terms of investigation. Having those two intellect skill icons is usually good for at least picking up one clue. There is a level 2 upgrade in the Harvey Walters starter deck. Again, probably not going to play this in Daisy, but because she's already got 5 intellect and doesn't really need this. Although I wouldn't say it's universal in Seeker, because Seekers do receive some cards down the line where you really want to over-succeed on the test, and perception is one way of really boosting your test high enough that you get the benefit of that. And plus, in Harvey, he gets to draw 2 cards when he plays this instead of 1. So probably not necessary in Seeker, but there are Seekers who still like this one.
It also has the practiced trait as well, so that has synergies with the card practice makes perfect. And Amanda Sharp as well from the Innsmouth Conspiracy. So there's also a lot of shenanigans that you can do with perception as well. Yeah, this is solid. You know, this is, I think, arguably better in investigators that have 3 intellect, because you boost that up to a 5, and that's generally enough to get you over the hump of most locations, and then it replaces itself, so you're just keeping your engine going, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think all the investigators in the core could make good use of perception, especially Agnes, even Agnes, when dealing with 2 shroud locations, can make good use of perception. Yeah.
And you can combo it with Flashlight. You know, you can reduce the shroud down to 2 and then commit perception and go up to a 4.
You can take a clue off that victory point location. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, yeah, perception has a lot of utility to it.
Yeah, and it also comes in handy for the odd treachery that requires intellect skill icons. There aren't many of them in the game, but I think there's only really False Lead in the revised core, but if you're not if gathering clues isn't your primary objective, False Lead can be pretty debilitating. So being able to pitch this to that in a pinch can really probably save you from having to discover all of those clues all over again, or at least reduce the damage that you're going to take from dropping clues from False Lead. But there are other intellect treacheries that can be somewhat annoying, so it's nice to have this one around, even if you're not going to use it to discover clues. That brings us to Manual Dexterity. It has the 2 agility skill icons, same text as all of the others. Again, this is if you're needing to evade. Generally, I think when you're playing investigators, if you're trying to decide what neutral skills to put in your deck, you really want to lean on your strengths. So if you're playing high agility investigators, it doesn't hurt to have a little bit extra agility. So Daisy can use this if she needs to evade something. Skids, he wants to evade with a 4. This puts him up to a 6. Agnes is up to a 5. Wendy's up to a 6. There is a level 2 upgrade in the Winifred Habimock starter deck. If you are really leaning into the, if you're playing a rogue, you can upgrade to that. I don't think Roland needs this, at least in the revised core, since I believe Grasping Hands deals damage, which he can handle. And On Wings of Darkness is relatively, I think it's only in the one scenario. So it's sort of like, if you get hit by it, fine. You're going to take a damage and a horror and move on. Initially, I thought this was the one that I ended up playing the least, but I think Overpower may actually have less use, at least in the revised core.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from, because Overpower is like generally a Roland or a Skids card, because they're going to be the primary investigators to defeat enemies, and generally you just need to get away from the enemy. You don't need to kill it a lot of the time. When you're playing someone like Daisy or you're playing someone like Agnes, you're probably want to save your shriveling charges for more important enemies. So having that kind of escape button with manual dexterity to be able to push yourself over that hump and evade that enemy can be pretty good.
Yeah, I think there's an argument for overpower and manual dexterity may not necessarily go in the same deck a lot of the times. Like Roland can lean on overpower to just punch the things harder instead of trying to evade things. I think something that's worth noting about all four of these cards is that, personally at least, one of the reasons why I rated a lot of these cards in the core set as tentacles is because you're often just better playing this one of these four. And you get a bunch of copies of them, and just starting a deck off with all four of these at two copies is like, you can do much worse. And this lets you lean into your investigator's strengths. Went off on a little tangent there, but yeah. Maybe the dexterity is pretty solid, except for maybe Roland.
Yeah, a lot of these, that's the case with a lot of these neutral skills, that is that while, you know, there are assets and events that are flashier, passing skill tests is really the name of the game. You're going to take a lot of skill tests, and being able to commit these neutral skills to them and pass them reliably goes a long way to winning the game. Yeah. So, you know, while a lot of assets and events are a lot flashier and have cooler effects, when you get right down to it, if you can't pass the skill tests, you're not going to do very well. And that's what these skills do. They just get you over, help you pass skill tests, especially on, you know, if you start off on easy or standard, you're not going to need much more than just one of these cards to commit it to the skill test, and you're going to have a pretty good chance of passing. And even once you take the step up to hard or expert, where you need multiple icons to overcome the variance in the chaos bag, the negative tokens are a lot higher. You can't really go wrong with two of the same icon on a card that replaces itself.
No, I think we often kind of make comparisons of other cards to these cards. Like, that just kind of speaks to their ubiquity. They're just so generally useful that you're going to kind of almost lean on them for a lot of your early days in the game, just because they're so consistent and so generally useful.
Yeah, and even if you do receive, like, once your card pool expands, you're going to see a lot of skills that do very specialized things, but they may only have one icon, or they don't replace themselves, and so it's often, I find it a tough choice. It's just like, I could play this really cool skill, or I could just play one of the neutral ones that I know what it does, and it's going to give me enough to get over that, to whatever the threshold is for the skill test. That brings us to overpower. It is the combat one. It has two combat skill icons. I was actually kind of surprised that this one is really Roland and Skids like this. I don't think many of the other investigators, maybe Wendy if she needs to kill something, but most of the other investigators in the box, like Daisy, Agnes, and Wendy, I don't really see them as primarily especially fighting with combat. Agnes is going to fight with willpower. Wendy will likely evade. Daisy's probably either going to evade something or have somebody along to help her fight stuff. So there is a level 2 version of this card in the Nathaniel Cho starter deck. Again, it is class specific for Guardians, but much like the other skills, if you're fighting stuff, this is the card you want.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at there, Mr. Lang, about overpower. So the thing about overpower is that you often want to be doing 2 damage per attack if you're going to fight monsters. Overpower is not going to help Daisy deal 2 damage on an attack. So overpower is not going to turn you from a non-fighter to a fighter. Manual dexterity, however, that you go from a non-evader to an evader for this test, and then you're good. You've evaded the thing. You don't need to double evade the thing or, you know, succeed by a million to evade the thing. You just evade the thing. So yeah, overpower is probably the most specialized of the four.
Yeah, and another kind of similar point to that too, is that often the enemies in the corset have a lower evade value than a fight value, so you're often more likely to succeed those evasion checks than you are, you know, trying to overpower a Wizard of the Order with Daisy.
Yeah, enemies tend to have slightly lower evade values than fight values, so you get a little bit more mileage out of that manual dexterity than you would an overpower in investigators who aren't going to fight. And by the same token, if you are playing Roland or Skids and you need to fight, you do need that overpower to help overcome those slightly higher fight values and make sure that you don't end up missing with those. You don't end up wasting those precious 45 automatic shots or Derringer shots, and you really want those to land because they are a limited resource, and overpower is one way of making sure that that not only do those shots land, but you get to draw a card that you may draw into your next weapon, or you may draw into another combat skill icon that just helps you keep that damage train rolling. That brings us to Unexpected Courage. It is the one with the two wild skill icons, max one committed per test. Does not replace itself like the other neutral skills, but I was telling the guys before we started, the only bad thing about this card is that there aren't 10 copies in the box, because I think pretty much every starter deck should have had two of these rather than two of Knife, because man, oh man, this is... two wild skill icons, you can't get much better than that. And honestly, I think this card has become even more ubiquitous in my decks as my card pool has expanded, because competition for deck slots really increases as your options increase, and each card slot becomes really important. And you cannot necessarily play two copies of each of the neutral skills. Cards like Unexpected Courage, it can be anything whenever you need it. And so if you don't have the deck slots to, say, play two Perception and two Overpower, Unexpected Courage can fill in that void for you very easily.
I think Unexpected Courage gets even better in 3 and 4 player play, because if you're doing so well with what your investigator and your deck is designed to do that you don't end up needing Unexpected Courage, you can save someone's butt with it by helping someone who's, you know, feeling low on sanity pass a Rotting Remains test, for example. So if you don't use it on yourself, you're going to save someone's butt with it.
Yeah, there really isn't much else to say about this card. It's, like you said, it's so ubiquitous and so good. Like, while it doesn't draw you a card, it more than makes up for it in its versatility. You know, you can commit this to Rotting Remains, you can help your friends pass those Frozen in Fear tests, which can, you know, save their life. You can use this as a manual dexterity to evade an enemy. You can use this as an overpower in combination with Vicious Blow to deal extra damage. You know, this, it just comes in handy so often that you just find yourself, like, you have to have a really good reason to not play this card in your deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only reason that I wouldn't play this card is that there's something in my class that gives me the equivalent. And even then, you know, you can't really go wrong by playing the equivalent and playing this as well. For example, Guardians receive a card called Take the Initiative. It's got three wild skill icons, very similar to Unexpected Courage. With the exception that the icons sort of disappear the more actions you take. But playing two copies of that and two copies of Unexpected Courage is not a bad play. Mystics receive Promise of Power, four wild skill icons for the cost of adding a bad token to the bag. Playing two of that and two of this, again, you've got most of your bases covered before you've even started to play. So
I think Unexpected Courage is like the bar that every other skill sort of gets held up to. You know, it's like, okay, I'm playing Unexpected Courage, now what other skill am I playing that's also like Unexpected Courage?
Yeah, it's true. I'm so glad that Unexpected Courage is in the core set. I so wish there were 10 copies of this.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with Man from Lang that this is the one card that needed 10 copies of any of the cards in this box.
I should mention there is a level 2 upgrade in this Stella Clark starter deck. It is locked for survive. It is a survivor card, so if you do want to upgrade, you have to be a survivor or an off-class survivor that can take at least level 2 cards. So that's going to do it for our look at the basic level 0 neutral cards in the revised core set. The designers really hit it out of the park with the neutral cards in this box. With the sole exception of Knife, all of the cards here are really fantastic. Like they're just solid, and you'll be playing them whether the revised core set is the only product you own or whether you own all of the products that have been ever released. They're still exceptionally good. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.